When you start November, that's kind of what's known as the season of giving, right? And so it reminds me of a story that I've shared in here before, but I love the story and I want to share it again. And it goes way back to 2020, you know, the year that we'd rather forget. Back in 2020, there was a young man by the name of Bradley Rowe, and he was working at a gas station as an attendant. And in larger cities, when you work as a gas station attendant, that's one of the more dangerous jobs. But that's what he was doing. He was working at the gas station attendant, and it was kind of slow one evening, and a man walked in to pay for his gas, and Bradley just kind of struck up a conversation with him, you know, because things were slow and he was kind of bored. But during the course of the conversation, Bradley doesn't even know the guy's name, but Bradley begins to share with him about how he's working this job trying to save about $2,000 because he wants to make a down payment on a Ford Explorer. And it was a 1998 Ford Explorer, and he had had his eyes on it for a long time. And so, you know, I'm working. I'm going to try to get this much money together. And so Bradley just kind of laid it all out, just innocent, and the man left. And Bradley continued along his shift. And later that afternoon, Bradley received a phone call from a guy by the name of Bill Ring. He said, "Can I come by?" And he said, "Yeah." And so Bill Ring shows up at the gas station, and he told Bradley, he says, "You know, here's what he said. You really made a good impression on somebody today. Somebody's really going out of their way for you. And so here's my business card. When you get off work, you need to come out and pick out a new car." Well, if you're in that position, you'd probably respond just like I did. "No way. No way. That's not happening. There's no way." And so Bradley didn't really believe Ring. But he decided after work that afternoon that he would go by just real innocent, take a shot, you know, just see what it's like, what it's about. So he gathered up his girlfriend, and they found the Ring guy at the local Kia dealership is where he was at. And when he walked in, he began to realize that everything that Ring had told him was true. The guy that he had shared that conversation with had come into the Kia dealership and left a blank check there. And he told him, "Ring," he said, "when Bradley comes in, let him have a car completely paid for." And so he was in shock. Bradley was absolutely in shock. And he said, "The next morning I woke up and I immediately went looking for my keys to make sure this thing was real." And Ring, the car dealer, he shared the story about when the guy came in, the anonymous donor. And as he was writing the check, Ring asked him, said, "Why are you doing this?" And the man told him, he said, "Everything in my life changed when I found faith. I now have the opportunity to give back to someone who's in need." Can you imagine that? In that interview, the car dealer, Ring, he said, I mostly just can't wrap my head around the sheer kindness of that complete stranger to talk to somebody for 5 minutes and then go, "I'm going to buy him a car." That's just unreal. It's no secret that Jesus had a lot to say about money and giving. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus does not get along with the Pharisees. And one of the major hang-ups that he has with the Pharisees is their hypocrisy. He can't stand their hypocrisy. He saw as they went through the motions of religion, and he knew that these men, they don't have a real relationship with God. And Jesus knew that these men were content just to simply go through these religious acts and hoping that it would contribute to their piety and their religious office, if you will. Jesus knew that everything they were doing was just for show. They weren't doing these things to please God. They were simply doing these things to please people. And Jesus, of course, saw right through them. And that's the one thing that turns Jesus off more than anything else in Scripture we see. He gets more angry about hypocrisy than anything else, especially when it involves religion. It's almost as if it's religion on parade. And if you know anything about Jesus, religion on parade, an absolute no-no. You do not do that. Anytime Jesus would catch somebody in the act of false piety, of acting high and mighty or super religious, he would he would criticize them very sharply. They would receive the brunt end of his tongue lashing. Look at Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Well, let me read through this, and then I'm going to pull out 3 points about giving that I think are super important from this. Look at verse 1. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth. They have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Go back and look at verse that very first thing. He says, watch out. This teaching, that communicates to us that this teaching is very vital. It's super important to how we are to live as Jesus followers in this world. When Jesus gives a word of warning and he says emphatically, watch out, then you'd better watch out. Obviously, there's danger beyond his teaching. Jesus knows the human heart better than anyone. And he knows how easy it is for well-meaning folk like you and I to veer off into dangerous territory. And that's the reason why he provides this warning. Watch out. He's seen how we are likely to fall into temptation. And he's seen how humans like to scheme, how we like to maneuver, how we want to get ahead, how we want to accomplish things, how we seek promotion. Jesus has seen all of that. And so he's issuing this quick word to all of us. It's a word of warning to correct our behavior before it gets out of hand. And look what he says. If you're following along in your notes, number one thing you want to write down, give sincerely. That's what he's saying. He says, don't do your good deeds publicly. Some translations like that I read in preparation for this, like the New American Standard, says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. We've talked the last several weeks about, well, up until I talked about the politic deal, which thank God that's over, right? But, well, it'll be over Tuesday, hopefully, fingers crossed. But anyway, what we've learned about righteousness before this is that Jesus was talking about the righteousness of man, and he's saying that our righteousness is only good if it exceeds the Pharisees. And now he's saying, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, or don't do your good deeds publicly. This idea is self-explanatory, because in heaven, it is a big no-no to perform public good deeds or good deeds publicly. And we do this by flaunting them, by exaggerating them, or even faking them. You know, we do this with the express intent of attracting attention to ourselves, the attention of other people. And what we often do in today's technological age is we like to take what the good things that we do and we like to post them on Facebook. Well, Jesus says, in the case of giving to someone in need, and so this is if you're giving to somebody who has an urgent request, where you can see something going on in their life that they need someone to come alongside them. Jesus says, if you are going to give to someone who is in need, don't do it publicly. Never for the sake of publicity, because it's the motive behind this. It's all about motive. Jesus, this first one, when he says give sincerely, he's talking about the motive behind your giving. And it's always burned my buns anytime I turned on the television or opened up the newspaper to see somebody donating to a good cause and then making a big to-do about it. You know, somebody that is donating to a great cause and what they want to do, they find it necessary to call the advertiser, have their picture taken with this super huge check, you know, and then they're not doing it. I mean, what's their motive behind this? They're giving to promote their organization or to promote their self. If you give, Jesus is saying, give with the proper motives because there is a need. That's the reason why you should give, because there's a need. Not don't give so that you can receive the publicity for giving. Jesus says, if you do that, all the good things, the applause that you're looking for, you're going to get right there. Don't expect anything in heaven. You're going to get it right now. You know, give because you see somebody has a need. Not so 14,000 readers and subscribers can see it. Not because your follow list is paying attention to your feed. Do it because you know there's a need. And that's the most important aspect of any giving. It should be the why behind the giving. The motive, the intent, the reason why you're giving the gift. That's the most important thing. Any gift that is motivated by the desire to receive applause from other people or other men, you will absolutely get their applause. You will accomplish what you set out to do. But then don't expect any applause from heaven. When you receive the applause of men here, you are simultaneously losing the reward from your Father in heaven. You're exchanging an external blessing, a very temporary blessing, for what would be a permanent, forever, eternal blessing in heaven. It's like, it reminds me of in the book of Genesis. We have Jacob and Esau, the two brothers, right? And Esau comes in and he's like hungry, he's starving to death. And he says, give me some of that stew, give me some of that lentil stew. And Jacob says, I'll give you some, but you got to give me your birthright. And Esau goes, I'm so hungry right now I could eat a horse. Give me some of that stew and you can have the birthright, you know? He's exchanging something that was meant to be eternal, his birthright, his blessing, something that was bigger and better for something that was super temporal. A bowl of soup? You're going to exchange your bowl of soup for your birthright, your blessing? You know, that's the same thing that we do here. Anytime that we seek a praise or the approval of men here through our giving, we're exchanging the eternal reward in heaven for a bowl of soup. That's what we're doing. But God sees through the veneer of our piety. And it says in Hebrews 4:13, it says, nothing is hidden from God. He sees through everything, and we will have to tell him the truth. So you might think that, hey, I'm giving, and I'll put up this veneer, and people, I'll kind of fake people out to think that I'm really pious or I've got a really compassionate heart in my giving. And the scriptures are clear that God can see right through that. He knows your heart. He knows the motives behind your giving. And remember, we're talking about the giving that pleases God. And let me say this. There is a lot of good that's done in this world. There's a lot of giving that's done in this world that's good. I see non-Christians all the time giving great gifts. And I will say those things are good. Anytime someone like Bill Gates gives $14 billion to rid the world of mosquitoes or whatever he's doing today, that's good stuff. But the bottom line is it does not please God. He is going to get all the applause that he's looking for here from man. But if he's looking for any applause in heaven, he is going to be very disappointed when he gets there. Anytime your giving is fueled by any other reason than I'm giving to please God, you will never achieve anything. God isn't impressed with our giving that's fueled by an ulterior motive. You know, there was a gardener once, and I've shared this story before. There's a gardener once, and he was just a poor man, and he was in the kingdom far away. And he grew, his bumper crop was carrots. And he grew the greatest carrot you've ever seen in your life. I mean, this thing was huge. Bugs Bunny would have killed Elmer Fudd for this carrot. It was huge. And so as the king and his procession make their way along the road by his house, the farmer runs out and presents the carrot to the king. And the king is touched. And so the king responds by giving the gardener an even larger plot of land to farm with. Well, there was a nobleman that was in the procession, and he sees everything that's going on here, and he begins to think to himself, he says, I think there would be, it'd be to my advantage if I could present the king with my finest horse, right? And so when they get back to the castle, the nobleman runs out and he gathers up his finest horse and he goes to the king and presents the finest horse you've ever seen the king. And the king receives it and just says, thank you. The nobleman, he is very confused about everything that's happening. And the king turns and sees the confusion on the nobleman's face. And so the king explains to him, he says, you know, the gardener was giving me the carrot, but you were giving yourself the horse. You were looking for something from me. That farmer wasn't doing it. He was just simply offering that carrot to me. You see, right good giving is giving that pleases God. The motive behind it is the motivation, is the desire to please God. God is saying, prove to me that what you're doing is motivated by a sincere desire to please me. Do it when nobody is watching and nobody's going to notice. And then we'll see if you're really truly giving, right? Now, how many of us could honestly say that's been our motivation 100% of the time? Anytime you give, has that always been your motivation, or have you had an ulterior motive behind it? It's the sincerity of the gift that God is looking for. So, number one, give sincerely. Number two, give spontaneously. Look at verse 2. He says, when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do. So, already, we know that he doesn't like the hypocrites. He disagrees with the way they behave. So, he says, don't do what they do, because here's what they do. They blow trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. Can't you just picture that? Anytime the Pharisees would do an act of charity or an act of giving, they would call in trumpeters to gather around to blow and get everybody's attention in the temple so that everybody could see what was going on. You know, this is a how not to give 101, if you will. So Jesus is actually stepping on a whole lot of toes here. And he's pointing out the way that the Pharisees would give. And you know, they would say alms to the poor, right? You know, the poor people would go around saying alms to the poor. And so as the Pharisees would give those alms or those givings or those gifts to the poor, they would pause before they would give it out and make sure that they were getting everybody's attention, and then they would give it, right? It was almost like they had predetermined how they were going to do it. They would make a production out of it. They would give alms in such a way that all the people would stop and take notice. And they would gasp, look how much he gave. I personally think, that these men would literally call someone out to blow the shofar. He knew that I'm going to give somebody a gift today, and they would employ someone to follow them. So that when they come to that poor person to give the gift, he would pause, allow the guy to blow the shofar, wait for everybody to stop what they're doing, and then give the gift. That's the image I have in my mind. I believe that's what happened. And if it's true, that takes a lot of forethought to go through all of that, right? I mean, planning to have a trumpeter available and sound, I mean, that's not spontaneous a bit. You know, some Bible scholars have noted how that the offering plates there in the temple, they were 13 treasure chests, and they were shaped like a horn or a trumpet. And in the court of women, against the wall, there were 13 of these chests for charitable contributions. And the Pharisees were known to cast their offerings into the chest. So they would stand back from a distance, and they would cast their coins, you know. And the reason they would do that is because the large coins would make a really large sound. Remember the story Jesus told about the widow's mite? And you know that the widow's mite is the smallest coin available, and how the widow had given it, and Jesus said she's given everything she had. And so a mite is a small thing, you know? But these men, what they were doing is taking very large coins, and they were tossing them into the trumpet offering plate. And as those coins would circle, it would get louder and louder, and it would reverberate. And so, think about it. It's this play on the words. He's tooting his own horn. You get that, right? You see, that's Jesus is saying our giving should not look anything like that. Giving should be a sign of the gratefulness you have, and it should be a sign of generosity. How you give is a sign of your maturity. Your giving should be done freely, and it should be done with joy, with right motives and right attitudes. Your giving should be done because of you see the big picture of what your Savior has done for you. I give and because I want God to know how much I appreciate the gift that was given to me at the cross. You know, and at some level, I'm really, whenever I give, I'm recognizing where the money really came from. I'm just giving it back to the guy that gave it to me. You know, I think the thing that makes God more angry than anything is because when God receives great gifts and great things are done in His name, it brings Him great glory. But as that giving is produced, right, and like if you're tossing the coin or you're blowing the shofar, what you're doing is you're diverting the glory that's due to Him onto yourself. It's like you're taking that spotlight and you're saying, I know the spotlight's supposed to be on you, God, but let's shift it on me for just a second and let everybody see how great I am. You know, we are only stewards here on this planet of what God allows us to have. Some of us have a lot. Some of us don't have a lot. In the great scheme of things on this planet, every single one of you in here has a lot. I have been to Africa twice, and I can tell you, the poorest person in here is like Bill Gates to the richest person in Africa. You have an incredible amount of blessings in your life. And so your giving should be in response to the great blessings and generosity that God has been showing to you. And my giving is always in gratitude for what God has given me. Let me just say this. I have no clue what anybody in here gives at all. You can ask Betty. I tell her, I say, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know what anybody gives. As far as I'm concerned in this church, I'm the only person that gives because I'm the only one that I know that gives. And so I don't ever want to be beholden to anybody, and I don't think it's wise for us to make a big production of people when they give. I've been in churches before that the people have given money and so they get a plaque on the wall. Whenever I see that, I just go, wah, wah, wah. Like, seriously? I am so over that. There's a auditorium that I've been in multiple times, and I'm not going to point it out, but every chair in there has a plaque on the back of it who gave the money to buy that chair. Like, seriously? Give your gifts in secret. That's number three. Give your gifts in secret. Verse 3, it says, when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So you're supposed to give in such a manner that you don't even realize what you're giving. That's the hyperbole behind it. Even you're giving in such a way that even parts of your own body doesn't know what you've given. It's like a sleight of hand trick, like a magician making a coin disappear. There should be no self-consciousness in it at all. In fact, here's the process that it should look like. I give, and then I forget what I give. Like it never happened. I give, going about my business. Well, and it really burns my biscuits a lot of times whenever I see people give, and then they stand back and say, now what are you going to do about it? Are you going to put a plaque up? Are you going to name it after me? I remember one time John told at our old church, Jennifer, John told a man that had given a great gift that was kind of demanding he have his way and demanding all sorts of things about how the gift is to be spent. John told the man, he said, you've given the money, now walk away. I love it. Walk away. It's God's now. It's not yours. You know, as you give, we are supposed to forget what we even give, but rest assured, when you give, as you are forgetting, God still remembers. Attracting attention by publicly giving to someone in need. I think that is a very particular form of malicious behavior. I think it's so self-centered and so self-serving. You know, the giver is exploiting the receiver's misfortune in order to gain notoriety. I think that's the lowest of the low. you know, taking advantage of someone that's in need in that moment. Like the hurricane that just happened and the floods in North Carolina. And, you know, for people to go over there and have a video crew following them and documenting how they're going around, and here's a check, you know. And I just think you're exploiting these people in their time of need because you want the publicity for it. You're humiliating them and demeaning them. You're drawing attention to what they don't have to make much of what you do have. You're doing it for all the oohs and ahs and, oh, look how pious he is, and he's such a good person, and look how much money they have. The giving that Jesus prefers is personal, and it's private. You know, the kids have a term for this now. They call it low-key. So when you give, be low-key, right? Be respectful of that other person's humanity. Here at this church, we have a benevolence fund so that when anybody, whether it's in the church body or in the community, they have a need, they can submit a request for financial gifts or assistance. And what the way that happens is when they do that, I take that request and I'll consult with the deacons or anybody that's available that I feel has an opinion on it. And because sometimes we give the gifts out of the Ministerial Alliance here, all the churches together, we have a benevolence fund as well. So a lot of times I'll consult with whichever body I need to and before we give. And then once we decide to give, that's it. We don't know. I mean, we don't want to make a big deal out of it. We're not going to call the newspaper. We're not going to call KY3 and say, hey, come down here. We've got a family whose house is burnt, and we're going to give them $500. I mean, we don't do that stuff. We don't take a photo and submit it as we hand them the check, right? In very simple terms, let your giving or whatever you do be done for His eyes only. Don't make a show of what you have and what you give. Give quietly, unassumingly. Do it with kindness and respect for the other person's dignity. Don't make a production out of it. And so the question that hangs before all of us is just simply this. At the root of this question of how to give is, what pleases God? Are you giving, the manner in which you are giving, does it please God? What kind of life will be rewarded in eternity? Is it going to be the person that gives a whole bunch over the person that gives very little? No, what's going to determine that is the attitude behind the giving. And so if the person that's giving a great amount is doing so with right motives, they will receive a great blessing in heaven. If the person that's giving very little does it with right motives, they'll receive a great blessing in heaven. But those that seek the blessing and the applause of men here, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get a Big Mac, a clap on the back, a handshake, and say, good job, buddy. You know, your good deeds, they're not a down payment on something that's happening in heaven. And if you look at it that way, you're not going to get anything. And just think about this. Good deeds, even the good deeds that we do here on earth, they can be tainted. They're polluted by our personal desires and motives. And so always do it with the proper motivation. Do it because it pleases God. What pleases God is right behavior fueled by the right motive and the right attitude. And when you live that way, all the glory will be directed towards Him and not towards yourself. You know, think about this. Every ounce of our giving, shouldn't that be a response to the cross? Can you buy your way into heaven? No. The cross was given freely. And so all of our giving should be a response to the life that was given in exchange for us. So, do what you do for your neighbor's good and for God's glory, number one. Don't ever do it for personal gain. And number two, the real you is what you do when only God sees it. That's the real you. That's what God sees. And if you think, if there's any motivation that I need to be acknowledged for this, maybe you shouldn't give it all. And number three, trust that God will reward you in heaven. Do your giving in secret. No fanfare, no applause, no glory, only for the glory of the Lord. And trust that He will see it and He will reward you for your good deeds here. You see, that's the Jesus way. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for the gift that was given to us. That is a gift that we could give out of our riches for the rest of eternity, and it would never repay for the gift of Jesus giving His life on the cross. You had no reason to do that. There was nothing within us that merits that expression of and that gift of Jesus. But You gave it anyway. And that should be the model for how we are to give. To give generously. Even when it hurts, we are to give. And Father, during these next few months of November and December leading up to Christmas and to celebrate the birth of Jesus, Father, we're going to be asked to give, and there'll be opportunities for us to give. May we always have the right motivation behind that, with the right attitude. May it all be done to please You, leaving behind the applause and the good words and the pats on the back from the men of this world. May You be exalted in all these things, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.